I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. We have an amazing show planned for you tonight. It's going to get a little spooky in here. We're going to bring in the crystal skull later. We're going to attach something called the white circle technology, something that's far more accurate than the black cube, and we're going to experiment with it tonight with the crystal skull. Also, we're bringing in some musicians to set the mood. It's going to be a good night tonight. So hopefully we're going to have the musicians play over the loudspeakers here, and hopefully, you know, they're going to be on the internet, and we're going to make it all happen. This is going to be interesting. This is an experiment that we're going to do. And I'm excited because, let me just tell you why we decided to go forward with the crystal skull. We discovered recently that we had this classic Ground Zero. We do a thing called G-Zero Classics. And if you go to the Facebook page, I think it's like every Wednesday, tomorrow actually, it's Continuum on Wednesday, doesn't it? Or do we have Classics on Wednesday? I'm just trying to... Classics is Wednesday. Okay. So every Wednesday on the Facebook page, we play a classic Ground Zero. We go back in time to when Ground Zero was local or when it was... On the internet, or what, you know, just different forms of Ground Zero that have been around, and go back to the early 2000s. And I talked with Brian Greene about string theory, and at the time of my show about when the interview was going on about string theory was still a new thing, and Brian Greene was on to promote his book that he wrote. And I told him in the interview, I said, gosh, I am nervous, man. I told him all the time, I'm just nervous. I mean, I'm a high school grad. I know nothing about quantum physics. I mean, this could be death. You know, this could be a show that could be death, because if I don't ask the right questions, then what? You know, what do I do? So I've got 3 hours with this guy, and I thought maybe I had bitten off more than I could chew when I chose to interview him. But he was more than happy to walk me through string theory, and I was hanging on his every word. And he was very helpful. It's one of those situations where I'd ask one question, and then he would just take it from there. It's one of those things where you know nothing about the subject matter. You just sit back and let the guest talk about it. You know, many times I've had guests on the show where I know what they're talking about, and I've had an experience with them. And many times they find it refreshing that I'm able to at least respond to what they talk about and understand what they talk about, rather than just having me sit back and going, But with Brian Greene, it was, and that's what I was doing. So, but it was after that, you know, I had been reading other books, like the Chaos Theory book by Glick, and I was reading, you know, kind of dabbling in quantum physics and quantum mechanics at the time. But I read a lot about it. And I'm not an expert, I'm not a quantum physicist or nothing, but I know enough about it to where I can carry myself now for a couple hours with someone who knows something about it and discuss it. See, in the realm of pure science, many physicists remain stubbornly committed to strings and multiverses and things too small or large to be observed. It's so amazing that you can talk about something so minute and so small, and how every little bit makes up the whole. It's kind of like when you go on a ghost hunt. For those of you that are ghost hunters, for those of you that are hobbyists that do ghosts, that go out and do ghost hunts, you see the orbs. And every little orb that you see sometimes can double with another orb, with another orb, with another orb, and then you have a full-on apparition. Or you have something looks like a vortex. Or, you know, many of you who have been ghost hunting know what I'm talking about. The room gets cold, some areas get warm, and then you start seeing these little pieces come together, like little atoms. And so, when you look at the multiverses and how theories of consciousness have also bordered on the bizarre lately, I mean, when I say bizarre, I mean the traditional scientists who are afraid to push the limits of theory are now getting agitated because prominent experts are espousing something called panpsychism. We've talked about panpsychism before on the show. It just basically holds that consciousness might be a property of many kinds of matter, not just your brain, all right? So that means the chair has consciousness. It means the chair may have vibration or frequency coming off of it. Many inanimate objects, rocks, animals, things, all living beings are more or less identified with their minds and their body. But see, take the cosmic model into consideration, and we see a newly accepted idea that everything has a vibration, everything has a frequency, everything has a form of consciousness. And we're hearing about the support of a form of panpsychism where consciousness is based on a non-physical substance that is in some way bound to all kinds of physical and mental matter. I know it's hard to contemplate, and scientists used to snicker about it, but panpsychism is actually a new science, which again includes a theory of everything, string theory, quantum theory. But its keen sights are set primarily in gathering information from inanimate objects, and from them, from all that, they gain insights as to what they preserved and what they can reveal for the future. And this would mean perhaps that many things the ancients used in ritual could be energized with power used in ceremonies. Now, when we were preparing the show, Wes and I were in my office and we were watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the reason why we're watching Raiders of the Lost Ark was because a lot of this applies to some of the, I guess you'd call them the relics of old, the Ark of the Covenant, and some of the I guess you'd call it ceremonial dress that Belloc, remember Belloc? He was the guy that wanted to steal the Ark and open it for the Germans. Well, he was wearing the ceremonial outfit that you officiated the tabernacle over the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron wore it in the Bible. It was this breastplate over the garment, the ephod. Then it was embroidered with gold. It held 12 precious stones set in gold filigree. There was ruby, topaz, carbuncle, emerald, sapphire, diamond, jacinth, agate, amethyst, beryl, onyx, and jasper. And these stones were worn in order to communicate with God. Those stones were there they were there to transfer a message to God. And the crystals and quartz crystals are very important in this, because a lot of people don't know this, but crystals store and transmit energy and information. I don't know if I remember when I was in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, one of the first things we did when we were in Cub Scouts, we made a crystal set radio. And we did it by wrapping copper wire over a toilet paper tube, and then we added a number of things to it. And then it was really odd because we'd have a little stylus that would go down the copper. And the crystals, these little crystals, and they call them cat's whiskers, they were able to pick up a radio station. So a crystal set was just amazing. You know, it's kind of like now, you know, people get a kick out of using a potato as a battery. But or you can use a lemon as a battery or something else. But we were doing this with crystal sets. So crystal, okay, some believe that ancient cultures used crystals and other rocks and other gems because they were used to communicate with spirits. They were used to communicate with God. They were used to communicate with ghosts. They were used to communicate with demons, okay? And so the crystal skulls, they used to make crystal skulls, allegedly, back in the ancient times. Crystal skulls, amulets. They called them keys. They had keys. They had sigils, ciphers. All these things were part of a component that would transfer frequency and communicate with spirits. So there were crystal skulls. There were crystals you wore around your neck. There were crystal keys. And so these were kind of like little computers recording and storing ancient wisdom and knowledge to be passed down for generations. Rather than storing this information in regular crystal, they could be lost in time. Allegedly, they would actually carve out idols made of crystal, or they'd carve out skulls made of crystal to represent the receptacle of the human mind and consciousness. So it was the idea that if we made a skull of crystal, the skull would be the area where the brain is housed, and so the crystal would become like a brain of some kind, able to communicate and send messages through the ether. And you know, then they didn't have, but then again, I don't know they didn't have, because I remember reading about how the Ark of the Covenant would speak and they would hear it speak. So maybe they did have speakers back then. Maybe they did have magnetics and the ways to get sound to go through a magnet and hook it up to some contraption so the Ark of the Covenant could speak. But then again, the idea of getting a crystal skull through amplifiers and amplify the thoughts, that's something else entirely. And that's why, you know, I'm talking about this white circle, this white circle energy, this white circle frequency maker, so that we can focus our attention, our intentions on this, and then we calm and clear the mind for more profound meditation, and then with improved clarity and decision-making, we somehow find ourselves communicating with the beyond using the crystal skull. So with the crystal skull, you can enhance intuition and psychic abilities, facilitate spiritual experiences and guidance. You improve grounding and concentration, support the laws of attraction and manifestation, promote peace and calm in any environment, and generally experience what you set your mind to do. And so that's the exciting part, okay? In the silence, you hear the voice from the skull. Or in the silence, you hear the voice from the Ark of the Covenant. In the silence, you hear the voice from that object that has consciousness, that sends the frequency. Now, this is not crazy stuff. This is stuff that science is experimenting with. And they're using technologies to gather the frequencies in the ether and transmit them in ways that can be heard. Right now, it's rudimentary. Right now, it's gibberish. Right now, it's, I feel, crosstalk of some kind, because we got a lot of communication going on. We have plenty of frequencies going on with 5G, 4G, hell, 6G. How many Gs you want to go? That means more and more communication, more messages are going through these conductors. Back then, they wouldn't have had that much information going through the conductors. Today, however, these conductors could be beacons for further discovery and further investigation. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.